Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bundesliga show. Hope everyone is doing well this fine evening. A little bit later than we usually record, and joined as per usual by Mark. Mark, hello from, well, not too far away.
Yeah, exactly. Back in the UK. It's the first show I've done in the UK for a long, long time, hadn't it? And obviously, we had a great day together as well yesterday, didn't we, Rory? Obviously, over in Sheffield, my first ever trip to the Steel City as well. Obviously, we watched a couple of games as well as that classic between United and Liverpool. So, yeah, even got some nice weather in Sheffield. So, yeah, it's been a great week so far.
Yeah, very, very rare. But yeah, four years in the making, that meeting between you and me yesterday. So yeah, that was awesome to, just be able to watch some footy and have a few beers. That was great. So yeah, what a weekend it was overall. But yeah, welcome to everyone who's obviously watching the show this evening. Hope everyone is doing well. As per usual, before we get kicked off, if you can leave a thumbs up on the show. Comment along and see that Justin's checking in. So, well, good morning, Justin, from Australia. Thanks so much for tuning in. And obviously to everyone else, please, you know, do let us know your thoughts on how your team has gotten on over the weekend. And if you can subscribe to the channel, share with your friends and family alike, that would be fantastic as well. So, yeah, I mean, so much to cover. This evening, Mark, obviously we've got a couple of big announcements in regards to head coaches for Wolfsburg and for Freiburg to cover. We'll kind of come to those in kind of chronological order accordingly, and we'll just kind of crack on with our featured games and then kind of come to them when it makes sense. So the fourth game on our countdown is Mainz-Bochum, and maybe not the standout game from the weekend, Mark. But I think, you know, the importance of this result is, you know, it deserves its time in the sunshine, basically, for us to kind of cover from what it means in regards to the relegation race, because, you know, it's certainly back on. It certainly feels like after this weekend. It was basically a must win, I think, maybe fair to say, for Mainz. You know, if Bochum win that, you know, they pull away and you know, is then really is a battle for, the 16th place spot, the relegation playoff spot, and that would be that, really. But that really makes things a lot more interesting, this result. And, well, it's a Johnny Burkhardt brace that, you know, really nice to see him getting in on the action. Obviously, the first of which was a penalty, which was created well by some nice interchanging play between Lee, oh God bless you, and Amiri as well. And I thought they really linked up especially well together during this match. And Burkhardt did the rest after, I think it was Bernardo tripped over Lee and put it away. They might have had a penalty before that actually, because Manuel Riemann came out and absolutely clattered Burkhardt, I think it was, clearing a cross that was deemed to be not a penalty. And then obviously going into the second half, a few more chances either way. Bochum did have a goal disallowed, but he was in the build-up, there's a really clear offside that Hoffman put away quite nicely. But then some more good play, keeping a corner kick alive, Mark. Catchy, managed to cross it back in. The lead to head it back the other way, and Johnny Burkhardt showing that striker's instinct to be in the right place at the right time to finish off the match with, albeit a couple of late chances for Bochum, a really good clearance off the line from Vandenberg, and then following up that, Zentner made a great save. I think it was from Paciencia on the rebound. So, yeah, get stuck into it, Mark. What did you reckon? Mine's deservedly back in with a shout of saving their season and saving themselves from relegation.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we've got to say congratulations to Johnny Burkhardt, as you've already correctly done. I mean, he's had such a hard time, obviously, over a year out. He did get that goal against Union Berlin that Peter watched live, obviously, about a month ago, was it now? But, you know, this is obviously his first brace and by far his best individual performance since he came back from that tragic injury, really. So big, big credit to him. Obviously, he was on the verge of the German national team as well at the time he got injured. So let's hope that he can get his form back. And obviously, Mainz badly need him back in form as well at this stage in the season. But yeah, in general, I thought Mainz were fantastic. I really did in the game. I thought that Lee was probably my man of the match, in truth. Mm. Superb, winning the penalty and also providing a great assist for obviously Burkhardt's second goal. He looks like he's getting more towards his form since Bo Henriksen has come into the club. By the way, Bo Henriksen now has picked up 7 points in his first 5 matches, so it's a significant improvement on what his compatriot Bo Svensson and then obviously Jan Sievert were able to achieve in their tenures this season. Obviously, Svensson in his own right has been a great manager for Mainz 05. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in general, you know, Barrero, who's had a really poor season overall, he looked like on it a little bit more. And I think, you know, aside from last week's thrashing against Bayern, you know, Mainz have looked a lot better under Henriksen. And he's been one of the reasons, Barrero, because he's such an important player for this Mainz side, and they need him back in form on a more regular basis. Even defensively, they looked a lot better too. I mean, defence has obviously been a big issue for them this season. I mean, Van den Berg, who a lot of people have been a little bit underwhelmed with at times. You know, he did really well on loan at Schalke last year at times, and he was seen as quite a coup to get for Mainz, but he's not really done it at times. But he was better in this game. Hanke Olsen as well, another man who did really well last season but hasn't really built on it this season. He was far better as well in this game. So yeah, you know, promising signs for the home side. And all of a sudden you look at that table now and you're thinking, you know, they've climbed above Köln into the relegation playoff spot on 19 points. I mean, it was only the third win of the season, which is desperately poor for a team of this Mainz team's quality. But I mean, all of a sudden you think, you say they can win 3 out of the last 4 home games, you're pretty much guaranteeing that playoff spot. And who knows, if they can nick a 4 wins and maybe an away win, then they could even squeak above the opponent's Bochum into the safety spot. It's not impossible yet. I mean, as for Bochum, what can you say? I mean, since they beat Bayern Munich 3-2 in that classic about a month ago, they've just basically collapsed. You know, yeah, they've lost 4 games straight. They've not played well in any of those 4 games. And despite the fact that Osterhage and Riemann were both back for this match as well, which had been called for, you know, a lot of people, including Thomas Leach, had kind of blamed the fact that they were missing for the poor form of Bochum in the previous 3 games. But yeah, this was a worrying performance. I mean, the XG was about 0.6, which is not good enough in this style of game. Yeah. Bochum have brought a massive away following for this game too. I don't know if you noticed that, Rory, but behind the goal was all blue. Looked like there were 4,000 or 5,000 Bochum fans at the game, which is a superb effort for a middle-sized club, really. But the fans were disappointed. All of a sudden, they got Darmstadt after the break, and that looks a massive game for them now, all of a sudden, because lose that and they really, really are in a relegation dogfight. For now, you'd still probably fancy them to stay up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is not a good run at the moment at all for Bochum. And, you know, Lech might be in a bit of trouble at the minute, I would say.
Yeah, I think what you picked up on there quite rightly is that that kind of collapse that we've seen since the Bayern win. Maybe you just go on such a high after beating Bayern, because obviously it's not expected for Bochum to do that. And then it's hard to maybe get that motivation again. Maybe they felt after the Bayern match, well, that's us done. We are safe now. It'd be a silly thing to assume or think, but obviously the bottom three for a long while have been quite adrift. But then obviously they now find themselves teetering, obviously joined by an incredibly poor Wolfsburg side, but we'll get to them in a bit. But yeah, no, I think obviously the one thing that we always talk about with teams in this area of the pitch is scoring goals. And I know I'm a bit of a broken record about it, but for Bochum, you know, I think we talked about rotation in another show not too long ago. God, who were we talking about? Oh, we were talking about Gladbach and rotation, weren't we? But I feel for Balcombe from an attacking sense. And yeah, obviously Lech at times will have his hands tied because of player availability. So Antwiatchi has been missing for this poor run of form, actually. And he's a big player for them. But, you know, we saw Pathyenta get a go tail end of 2023. And he had a good couple games. And then he found himself dropped. Roshinsky's come in since that kind of time, had a good couple of games early on, but he's dropped off recently. Hoffman had a good season last season, but his impact has clearly been stripped back. He was used a lot more at the start of the season. He's very much now more of a substitute. His game time has been restricted in that sense. Obviously, he scored. He put away that effort, which was obviously a clear offside, and had a couple of couple of goes at goal later on in the match. But yeah, that top end of the pitch is a really critical point, I think, for Balcombe. You know, they've got a strong core, like we've always talked about. But if they can't put away those chances, they will mean, yeah, they'll be dragged into it. We saw a Darmstadt side, like you said, who looked pretty good going forward against Bayern at the weekend as well. They had chances, like, you know, that you can say scored two goals, could have had a few more. In that sake, so yeah, that game becomes huge. Like you say, if Balcombe lose it, all hell can break loose from a relegation point of view. If they win it, then yeah, maybe they've kind of done enough already. But it certainly makes things a lot more interesting at that end of the table. And yeah, no, fair play to Mainz. I thought Lee, Amiri, Burkhardt, and Vandenberg were all excellent in that match. And you know, we're starting to see some good partnerships being developed in that sense. So, again, for Mainz, I think it still does Ajork or Onisiwo get that top spot, because Ajork's mate, is he starting to play better, Mark, do you think? Does he still get the nod against ahead of Onisiwo? That is still where they're not quite sure, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'd always go with Ajork, personally. I think he's a better footballer overall. I think he causes more trouble, but yeah, overall, it's been an underwhelming season for the big Frenchman. I mean, I think he's, what, 3 goals this season? I think last season he ended up with, like, 6-7 and a similar number of assists in, like, 15 games. Like, he was averaging, like, and, you know, obviously Mainz had a brilliant second half to last season, but it hasn't worked out for him this season. And I think he always puts himself about, but he cuts a frustrated figure at times this season. And, you know, for me, I'd still go with Ajork over on Onisiwo, but they've been another team that have rotated a lot at times. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously not enough goals in general, really not enough goals from them. They've had far bigger problems than even Balcombe for that. You know, they've scored 8 goals less than Balcombe, only scoring 22 in 26 games. I mean, yeah, but things are looking brighter for Mainz, really. I do believe that Henriksen's made a solid start despite that 8-1 thrashing. I mean, you know, the only other defeat was that unlucky 2-1 at Leverkusen. So in general, it's been 4 good performances and 1 dreadful performance, basically. So, yeah, you know, at the minute, they probably take a playoff spot in my eyes. I think they will probably accept that after the season they've had. But you probably fancy them to get that now ahead of Cologne and Darmstadt, in truth.
Yeah, very true. So, yeah, really interesting match and the connotations that have come out of that. Evening to everyone that's tuning in as well at the moment. Thanks so much for tuning in. Someone that's tuning in from a very on fire at the moment, Iceland, with all the volcano activity. So, good evening to... oh my God, I don't want to pronounce your name because I'll absolutely butcher it. So apologies. Mark, do you fancy a go at that one?
Hjörvar Pettersson, I would say.
Not a bad effort.
Let me know, Hjörvar, if I'm correct. But yeah, by the way, Iceland, amazing country. I was there about this time last year. Absolutely amazing place, Iceland, really. I can recommend anybody to go there, really.
Yeah, agreed. Great stuff. So our third game of the evening that we're going to cover... is Wolfsburg 1, Augsburg 3. Obviously, a really interesting match this as well, Mark, that had, impacts for, the Wolfsburg, now former head coach, Niko Kovac. We'll come to that in a moment. Obviously, the game itself, Wolfsburg started off brilliantly. They were really, really on it. You know, a team under pressure. They came out fighting, you know, created some chances, and, you know, they got that early goal through Wimmer. Nice bit of play by him in the penalty area after Mailer, I think, gets down the wing. I think Lacroix kind of helps it on inside the box. But yeah, all the hard work is done by Wimmer in that sense. Great turn and finish. Then, you know, some really good chances created thereafter. There was one, a couple for Baku. Arnold as well, he had a good effort that went narrowly wide. Vind then had that acrobatic effort that went just over the bar. And so, you know, they were in control to a certain extent. Obviously, 1-0 is a very dangerous scoreline anyway, isn't it, to deal with. But Demirovic had a half chance as well, I think. But then we come to the big point in the match, Mark. And, I'll come straight to you on this. Are we saying it's a clear red card or not? Because I have my sincere doubts. I did not feel like you could clear cut say that is a last man challenge. It looked to be enough cover for me to say that is doubt. Therefore, it probably should have been a yellow card. Completely open to thoughts and opinions, though, from yourself and everyone that's watching.
Yeah, I'm tended to side with you, Rory. I mean, it was actually good play from Mbabu, very direct running, but there were one very, very clear man who was covering and another man who was a little bit further behind. So the red card is definitely soft. I would imagine the reason why it was given is because they probably thought Mbabu was about to leash a shot, basically, because he was on the edge of the area. And it is possible, you know, he was in a good shooting position. And, you know, I think it is likely he would have taken a shot if he wasn't dragged back. But It seems harsh, to be honest. Yeah, it does seem harsh. But, yeah, it's unfortunate for Wimmer, too, because I thought he was really good in the game. He was absolutely superb in the first half. And he's a player I've always had a lot of time for, Wimmer, actually, you know, from his days at Bielefeld. And I think at times last season he was really good for Wolfsburg, too. Obviously, he's been unlucky with injuries this year. And, obviously, that was his first appearance since the previous game against Augsburg when he also got a goal. So, I mean, it's it was unfortunate for the young man. I really do believe that. But big respect to Augsburg. The way they reacted just proves that this is a newfound Augsburg side. I mean, this wouldn't have happened probably under Enrico Maaßen for me. I mean, The reaction was just nothing short of superb. They'd actually been really poor in the game up until that point. I felt as though it was one of the worst first halves I've seen from them under Jes Torup. But, I mean, to say that they capitalised is an understatement, really, on the record. I mean, they equalised immediately from that lucky Meyer free kick. But if you don't shoot, you don't get, you know what I mean? And it was a fantastic retaliation. It really was. And then the second half, I thought they were brilliant, really. It was a professional performance. You know, they didn't create bags of chances, but Jakic, two brilliant finishes from him. You know, a man who's starting to get better now with obviously a first double ever in the Bundesliga for him. You know, the on loan from Frankfurt, I thought he was really good. He's improved steadily since me and Peter saw his debut against Bayern, and he made two errors on that particular day. But, you know, he's looking quite good in that defensive midfield position. And in general, Augsburg, you can't give them any more credit than what they're doing at the minute, really. I mean, they're just winning games of football, they're scoring goals. They seem to have very, very high levels of resilience under Jes Torup. I mean, they've always been a resilient side. But under Torup, they've just got a newfound belief that they can go and score goals. They can win from any position. You know, me and you have mentioned a lot of times, Rory, this season about the ridiculous number of times they come from behind. And, you know, they still struggle to put in 90-minute performances, I would say. But often in second halves, they're extremely strong, really. I mean, Second halves, they are really good. We saw a very similar performance against Gladbach earlier in the season when they were quite poor in the first half and they were 1-0 down. And then the second half, they just came out of the blocks and they dominated it from start to finish. And this was a similar story, really. I mean, they got a little bit of luck with the red card, but I'm going to be honest with you, Augsburg are probably owed a little bit of luck with refereeing decisions. I mean, They've always been a team that, you know, have had a lot of red cards. And it's starting to go the other way now. You know, referees are respecting them more now under Jes Torup. And they're in a really good place at the minute. They're up to seventh in the league. They're on four back-to-back wins. They've got Köln at home the first game after the break. I mean, things literally have never been better for FC Augsburg, really, in the Bundesliga. And, you know, I'm happy to say it because, you know, I've been down there twice to see them live and I've got a lot of respect for that club and the fans are friendly. It's a great match day atmosphere, despite being a relatively small club by Bundesliga standards. And, you know, obviously Demirovic wasn't massively involved in this particular game. He's been the star man all season, but they're finding ways to win games, Augsburg. And, you know, this is another classic example of the resilience of a team that are just really going places at the minute.
Yeah, absolutely. And a question from Ballum in regards to Augsburg and how high can they finish? Can they finish in seventh place? I think we've said a lot, haven't we, Mark, about that seventh place spot, you know, whatever level of European football it might be, even if it is one. I mean, anyone can have it. We were talking about Werder 3 weeks ago. We talk about Augsburg now. Hoffenheim have obviously dropped down. It is anyone's. Whoever can string together what another five wins definitely gets you it, I think. So yeah, absolutely, like Mark said, they've got a presentable fixture next, so if Augsburg can keep on doing this, they'll believe, yeah, absolutely, and who knows where they might take them. So yeah, obviously really professional and really strong second half from FCA. So, yeah, obviously in regards to Wolfsburg then, obviously it was a positive start to the match. They were looking really up for it, trying to, you know, maybe save Nico's job in a sense. Obviously, the result clearly was going to ask more questions of the manager, the head coach. And obviously, when we met, I think that was when the news broke, wasn't it, on Sunday? Obviously, a couple hours before, and obviously we were chatting about it. And yeah, I think I mentioned on socials that it's probably one of the most overdue sackings in a long time. And, you know, it's not for, I don't think we like to say that, you know, managers should be sacked, and it's not part of our narrative usually, but it's just felt like a long-term coming, Mark. And it's just been this kind of ongoing relationship with Wolfsburg and Kovac, seemingly just a bad marriage. And it's just never really worked out. This season, obviously, for Wolfsburg, it has been a travesty. 13 losses. So they've lost half of their games this season, with a minus 13 goal difference, only scored 31 goals. And I know we talk about goals a lot, especially with the start that Jonas Vind had. And he was right up there with the top goal scorers after like six or seven games. We were thinking, oh, you know, can he push Wolfsburg forward and stuff like that? But that's just completely dropped off a cliff. The performances, they're just finding new ways to lose every single week. And that's a very, very dangerous habit to get into, especially in regards to relegation stuff, because you're never too good to go down. And so Wolfsburg, they had to act. And so they did. So Kovac has been removed from post. So we'll talk a little bit about Kovac, first of all, Mark. Obviously, his record with VfL was roughly a win percentage around 34-35%. Obviously, having played around 66 games, I think it was in the end, winning 23 of them. So that's a pretty low statistic, obviously, versus his times in the Bundesliga prior to that with Frankfurt. It was much more positive and Bayern was less satisfying, but he naturally had a better record therefore, because, you know, it was Bayern. Where did it all go wrong? Was it just the wrong pick by Wolfsburg? What do you reckon to this apparent news that we've had?
I actually think the early days were okay under Kovac, to be honest. If you went back to last season, I think there were good moments. I mean, the 6-0 win over Freiburg, the 5-0 win in Berlin against Hertha. I mean, there were definitely good moments last season, but this season has been an unmitigated disaster, basically. There's no question about that. I mean, you know, I think we've talked a lot about the budget that this Wolfsburg team has. I mean, a lot of people don't realize, but they're generally between fourth and sixth on the list in terms of money spent on wages and transfers and things like that. I mean, they've got a lot of footballers on very, very high wages there. And when you compare them to this weekend's opponents, Augsburg, I would imagine their wage budget is like 2 to 2.5 times higher than these opponents. So I know football's not all about money. It really isn't. But, I mean, it's not good enough, basically. 25 points from 26 games is catastrophic for a team like Wolfsburg. And to be honest, where did it go wrong? I'm going to say go as far to the very last day of last season. I don't know if you remember this, Rory, but all they needed to do was beat relegated Hertha Berlin and they would have got either Europa League or at least Conference League. And they lost that game at home to... I mean, against an already relegated side, and they were 1-0 up as well. Yeah, and they got in the second half. And that's where it went wrong for me, basically, because, you know, if they'd have got that, it would have been a case of job done. They would have been back in Europe. The fans would have been relatively happy. The board would have been relatively happy. And they might even have backed him a little bit more in summer as well. You know, they did get Meyer in for about 25 million euros, which is a massive signing for a Bundesliga team. But aside from that, there were no majorly inspiring signings for me in the summer. But in general, it's been a woeful season. It truly has. I mean, 12 games without a win is actually the record in the Bundesliga for Wolfsburg. Incredibly, they've never gone more than 12 games without a win before. And it's appalling, basically. Yeah, I mean, yeah. As you say, you summed it up correctly, Rory, saying that they find ways to lose games. I mean, as you say, for periods in this match, they were brilliant, really. At 1-0, they had chance after chance to get the second or even the third goal. They couldn't do it. And then one mistake, and before you know it, you're 3-1 down. And that's the way the season's gone. That's the way the last 8-9 months have gone under Niko Kovac. Too much rotation as well, really too much rotation. There's never been a stabilised 11 in that squad. And there are talented players within the roster, but, you know, Maxi Arnold hasn't had his best season. Jonas Vind isn't even playing as like a classic number nine at the minute, which I don't understand personally. You know, Thiago Tomás hasn't really had a good season, you know, backing up a kind of average season really with Stuttgart last year as well. And even the likes of Joachim Mähler has not really done it for me this year either. He was obviously an exciting signing on paper, but he's been quite poor at times. And yeah, it's just been very, very poor in truth. And yeah, to be averaging less than a point a game for a team like Wolfsburg is truly catastrophic. And he definitely deserves the boot, unfortunately. I don't think he's a terrible manager per se. Like, he has had a success in football. He's won the Pokal with Frankfurt. He won the Bundesliga with Bayern. He also had a decent stint with Monaco as well in France. So he's not a bad manager. He will get another decent job again somewhere around Europe. But yeah, for his time at Wolfsburg, nobody can complain, including himself, that it's finally come to an end.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, obviously, as we can see on the banner, Wolfsburg did act quickly to appoint their new head coach in Ralf Hasenhüttl, who we've seen a lot, in England, in jolly old England, in Southampton for the last little while. Obviously, he's been out of a job for a little bit of time, but he's also coming back to a league that he knows pretty well, Mark. Obviously, you know, he had a successful time with Leipzig, I think it's fair to say. Obviously, he came in with them, obviously, when they were first promoted, guiding them to a second place finish. And then obviously, his time at Leipzig came to an end with obviously the appointment of Nagelsmann, who came in. His time at Southampton, they went on some nice runs. They played some okay footy. They also had this tendency to obviously have absolute horror shows. What, you know, under his management, they lost 9-0 twice in the Prem, which, you know, they can be one-offs, I guess. But he'll certainly, you know, he'll come in with his own ideas. Interesting to see, obviously, any Wolfsburg fans are watching their thoughts on his appointment. Safe pair of hands, Mark. What do we expect for the last 7-8 games that we have left? The mission statement is keep us in the bloody Bundesliga or else.
Yeah, I'm actually quite a big fan of Ralf Hasenhüttl, to be honest. I do rate him, actually. As you mentioned, Rory, yeah, he did have some awful one-off games, but I think he also presided over the best season Southampton ever had, I think, in the Premier League too. That year, the COVID year, I think it was, and they finished, like, they played really good football at you, and they had Danny Ings on fire. And, like, I think they finished either 10th or 9th or something. It might not have been the best ever season they had, but it was a very good season. They played good football as well. And also at Leipzig, yeah, he was widely seen as the one that kind of built Leipzig up initially to what they are today, really, you know. And let's not forget that he also got my Bavarian brothers Ingolstadt promoted to the Bundesliga for the first time as well. So he's had a successful career in general. I mean, yeah, I think he's a decent appointment. He's also a man that knows how to manage bigger egos as well. You know, he's been at big leagues, big clubs. And I feel as though he's probably a little bit more experienced than Kovac, even though Kovac had that 1 year at Bayern Munich. But yeah, what can you say? I mean, I think Wolfsburg fans will be relatively happy. I don't think they'll get that much better this season. It wouldn't be fair to expect them to get that much better. They've just got to stay up, as you say. I mean, I'm not going to be judging him over these last 8 games of the season because, you know, the damage has already been done this year and confidence is so low at that club that you can't expect him to go out there and win, you know, 6 out of the last 8. But I mean, at the same time, you know, they will back him in the summer. I would imagine to see big changes at Wolfsburg in the summer, both in and out. And yeah, I think he is a good manager that could potentially get them pushing for the Europa League again next year.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, good point in the comments as well about Southampton not really backing Hasenhüttl and selling a lot of players. Obviously, Southampton, you know, in years gone by, we saw those amazing Southampton sides, didn't we? But they did obviously ultimately sell a lot of their best assets. And yeah, DM also saying, obviously not so impressed with a face palm emoji about Hasenhüttl, but wishes them luck, absolutely. Yeah, we'll watch that now with great interest. So yeah, that pretty much covers the VfL Wolfsburg head coach situation. So we'll move on to our second last game of the countdown this evening, and that's the Friday night fixture mark between Köln and Leipzig. excuse me. At half time, more like Dortmund fans and particularly Stuttgart fans were thinking, oh, well, 1-1, we might get some dropped RB Leipzig points. But yeah, it wasn't to be. That second half was, impressive from Leipzig. And even the first half, there was chances galore, wasn't there?
Yeah, I mean, this was a thrashing, basically. I'm going to be honest with you now. I mean, even the goal for Köln, you know, was a very scrappy Adamyang goal from a set play. And to be honest, aside from set plays, it's just so hard to see this FC Köln side even scoring a goal at the minute. But yeah, Leipzig are kicking into gear. You know, I really am impressed with what they're doing at the minute. I think, you know, that they're starting to score goals again. Openda, he has missed chances, but at the end of the day, 19 goals in 26 games is very impressive numbers for your first season in a new league. And, you know, he did miss a lot of chances against Real Madrid in the Champions League. But, I mean, he is a good striker. And I always say about strikers is the first thing you need to do is be in the right positions, because some strikers just don't get in the positions at all, basically. So that's a skill in its own right, you know what I mean, to kind of get space in the box and, you know, drag defenders around. And he's very good at that. He's a very, you know, tricky striker. And I think his finishing at times could be a little bit better, but in general, it's a very good number. If you can get up to 25, then it's a stellar debut season for him in the Bundesliga. Xabi Simmons, what can you say about him, really? I mean, for me, he's been possibly the best player in the Bundesliga, individual player, I think, along with the likes of Grimaldo, Florian Wirtz and Harry Kane. I'm struggling to think of any player that's been better this year in the Bundesliga. I think he's been absolutely brilliant and he hasn't disappointed one bit. You know, I mean, there's going to be a lot of clubs that want him next year. And I mean, surely PSG are going to give him a chance in the first team because, I mean, he is a magician of a footballer. He really is. And, you know, very, very young and ridiculously talented. And it's been great to watch him this year at this level. But yeah, as you say, I mean, Leipzig are looking good. And that top four place is really hotting up at the minute, isn't it? Because, you know, Dortmund are not playing as well as Leipzig at the minute, but they are grinding out results as they did in that 3-1 against Frankfurt on the Sunday. But for me, Leipzig, I think in response to Balam's question, I would actually go Stuttgart and Leipzig to get that top four place at the minute. I do believe that Leipzig traditionally finish seasons very, very strongly, and I don't think this will be any different. I think we're seeing signs now that they're playing better than they've done all season. They're creating chances. I think they've got a more settled starting 11 as well. I think Schlager and Haidara work really well in this game. By the way, Schlager is such a good player as well, really. He's very, very underrated. Very, very underrated for me, Schlager. I always liked him at Wolfsburg and now at Leipzig as well. He really is a great footballer. It's going to be great to see him for Austria as well in the Euros in summer. I think the fact that Dani Olmo's back as well is a big thing for Leipzig. I mean, it's so sad that he gets injured so often because he is another ridiculous footballer, one of the best individual players in the league. And yeah, I think we can safely say Marco Rose's job is safe for now. He obviously had that bad period and people were questioning his future, but for me, he will be in place regardless of what happens this season. And I really do believe they'll get a top four berth for me. I don't know what, do you agree, Rory? Can you see them getting in? Or I know you don't want to curse it with Stuttgart.
So. I want to keep my mouth shut. Leipzig look like they're hitting some good form at a right time. They have the ability to do this to teams, don't they? In regards to scoring goals really quickly, and especially in those second halves. I think it's just been mentioned, the floodgates opened after that appendage brace. Things are looking pretty rosy. Pardon the pun for Leipzig right now. As for Köln, obviously, I'm not sure if Moritz is tuning in, one of our regular viewers is a big Köln fan, in terms of how they got on. I know that, again, Köln played okay for 60 minutes. I'm not sure if Mark was as impressed by FC overall, but yeah, they're still within a chance, Mark, but they're starting to run out of life, so to speak. It still hasn't clicked in any sense. We thought we might get a bit of momentum off off that Rhein derby performance and effort, but I think when we were chatting, obviously on Sunday, we were kind of talking about that and where they'd gone from that result, and maybe we're thinking, oh well, maybe it was just a bit of a false dawn, because generally speaking, Gladbach aren't that great either. So it made for an entertaining game, but maybe not one of those defining season moments. So yeah, it was kind of like the perfect storm for Leipzig. I think, yeah, they got themselves stuck in. They could have obviously had a good few goals in the first half as well, but for obviously just finishing purposes, didn't quite get over the line. Leipzig can now go on a good run. What they've got, Mainz up next at home, so they'll be expecting to win that, despite obviously Mainz obviously getting a good result from the weekend. So yeah, it's all open from a top four race point of view. From a relegation standpoint, you have to say that Mainz definitely have the best chance of breaching that 15th, 16th spot for me. Köln just don't have any confidence in them in regards to be able to score goals. At least Mainz are creating chances as well. And obviously poor old Darmstadt at the moment look a little bit more cut adrift as well. Any other thoughts on this one, Mark, before we move on to our last game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Cologne's XG was 1.7, which is better than what they've managed in a lot of games. But it was a very open match. You know, I think Leipzig realised they wanted to fill the boots a little bit in this one, so they played a very expansive style. Obviously, they went very, very attacking as well in the game, so it's not a surprise that, Cologne managed to create a few chances. But I think the early improvement under Timo Schulz has kind of gone, in truth. You know, I think they were decent against Gladbach, but looking back, I think I said it to Peter on Thursday, they needed to win that game, actually, especially in hindsight now. It looks as though they kind of did, because you know, there are not many teams are going to score three goals in a game against, and obviously they couldn't quite manage to convert that into a victory. And, you know, it's eight goals conceded in the last two games, which is also too many, basically. And time is running out. They're going to have to somehow probably win four games out of the last eight to get the playoff spot. And for me, it's not looking likely, in truth. And I think I predicted them to go down at the start of the season, and I think my prediction has been justified from what we've seen from them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So work to do for the Billy Goats, absolutely. So our final game as a part of our featured four this evening is one of the Sunday games that we watched. Obviously, that we got to watch, well, on my phone, at least, Mark, because obviously the game was hidden away. It was on... excuse me, the Sky Sports YouTube app. So we were watching that whilst obviously tuning into the Man United Liverpool game as well. So we were doing a bit of dual watching. And this was a great game, though. Really exciting. Obviously, you know, close game on paper. We had a really fast start to the match with star man Florian Wirtz doing what he does best, just making impacts on games, you know, a little bit of a shimmy, getting that half space to drive a lovely curling effort in to give Leverkusen a really early lead. What was that? That was after about 75 seconds, roughly speaking. So great start for them. The Freiburg came into it really well. Nice bit of interchanging play down the right-hand side. To release Ritsu Doan, who finished really comfortably and really well. I think there's a little bit of defensive kind of, well, ball watching in a sense rather than tracking of the man as Doan kind of made his way into the area. Not sure if it was Grimaldo or if it was someone else. I don't want to pin it onto him just in case it wasn't. But yeah, good finish and that kind of set up the game, Mark, for what was a really entertaining Bundesliga tie, but for what it was worth in terms of the score being really close, you know, final score, and it provided drama for us to the last. You were really impressed by Leverkusen as a team performance, and you thought it was the best that they'd played for a long while.
Yeah, I thought they were brilliant, actually. Yeah, despite obviously one of the poorest performances of the season against Harabach on Thursday, where they were really lucky to come through that game, in truth. I thought this was a great retaliation. As you say, the early goal really helped them. I mean, it was a great strike as well from that man, Florian Wirtz. It was a superb strike. And despite the kind of adversity of Ritsu Doan scoring a really good individual goal as well, it was a game of really good goals too, this one. And I felt as though, yeah, the equaliser was really good quality. But, you know, Leverkusen just dominated, really, for me, for long periods. And the second goal, which proved to be key, was probably a mistake from Atubolo as well. I mean, I think we said it, Rory, didn't we? He was too hesitant on the initial shot. And in the end, Lozek was given an easy finish. But the third goal was a world-class finish from Patrick Schick as well. I mean, it really was a nice finish that, like, off the stanchion, off both posts and in. Yeah. I mean, it would have been so unlucky if that one had somehow stayed out. But, I mean, yeah, some people would say they didn't finish the game particularly well. But, I mean, there are going to be some tired legs as well in Leverkusen because, they played 37 games this season now, not lost a single one of them, by the way. I mean, what an effort, including 26 in the Bundesliga now. I mean, I thought it really was a great attacking performance. And having watched them against Wolfsburg last week, I was a little bit underwhelmed by them going forward at times. But in this particular match, nobody can criticise anything to do with that attacking performance. There were so many credits. You know, another great performance from Grimaldo, who can't be far off player of the season in the Bundesliga this year. Absolutely superb player. And, you know, 10 points clear with 8 games to go. We're getting very, very close now, aren't we? And quick look at the fixture list, and they've got Hoffenheim at home next, followed by Union Berlin away, and then Werder Bremen at home. I mean, realistically, you can't see really them dropping any points, but maximum maybe 1-2 points out of those games. So they're going to be on the verge by the time they visit Dortmund in the middle of April. So nobody can create, you know, they've just been absolutely amazing all season. They are going to win the Bundesliga, you know, for the first time in the history. And massive respect to Xabi Alonso and every single player involved with that squad this season.
Yeah, and there's a question that's on everyone's lips at the moment. I think we've had it a couple of times in the chat already. But OTB's Dave has asked, are Leverkusen going to finish the league unbeaten? Is it the big question on everyone's lips, or is it just the bonus? I know we were talking about the list of priorities the other day for Leverkusen, and you were saying what? It was number one, win the Bundesliga. Number two, Pokal.
I said, yeah.
And number three, you said, yeah, three would be unbeaten season. We didn't even say about the Europa League, but that's still obviously on the horizon as well. They can't go unbeaten all season, all comps. That just won't happen. Surely not. Bundesliga-wise, I think they might do it, you know. The only one is maybe Dortmund. I can't see them losing. I really can't. By all means, clip this up and I'll probably jinx them or whatever. But what do you reckon, Mark? Can they do it in the league?
I mean, as I say, the main thing is get it won first. Just get it won, basically. Yeah, because, you know, we know this is a club that have been in positions not as good as this, but they have been leading at this stage two or three times in the last 20 years. And, you know, they've gone on to blow it, which is why they're known as Vizekusen in German, or Neverkusen in English. That's not going to happen this season. I think if it was going to happen, there's many opportunities that could have tamed pass, basically, and they just keep winning just non-stop, basically, and that's not going to happen. But whether they can do the unbeaten season is another question. I think you're probably looking at three games for me where they could lose. I think that's Dortmund away, Stuttgart at home, and potentially Frankfurt away. But realistically, if they get through Dortmund and Stuttgart, I don't see them losing that game, really. Whether Xabi will, you know, rest some players if they win the league and go for the Europa League too, that's possible. But I don't think he will. I think if you look at the teams he's played in the Europa League, he's always gone weak in that. Even the other night for the second leg, there were like four or five changes for that game. So I think he's actually going to prioritise the unbeaten season ahead of Europa League, which I can kind of understand, to be honest, because a double plus the Europa League would, in my opinion, constitute as being the greatest ever Bundesliga season. So, I mean, this is a team that have already made history in so many ways, but to do the unbeaten season would be next level, basically.
Yeah. And
so, yeah, for me, it's possible, but I don't think they'll do it. I'm going to be honest. I think one of Dortmund or Stuttgart will turn them over. I just think, you know, the unbeaten season is very hard, and they are getting stretched a little bit. They're starting to concede a few more goals than what they were doing earlier in the season. And I got the feeling there will be one team that just plays out the skin against them and manages to turn them over. But they'll win the Bundesliga, which is the absolute main thing.
Yeah, main thing, get it won, take care of everything else. Absolutely, I think I agree on that. What we'll come to now is, a bit more of a focus on Freiburg, because there's been lots of comments on, you know, Monsieur Streich already. The news, which I think quite a lot of us have been anticipating and waiting for, is that Christian Streich has, you know, now announced the fact that he will, step down as head coach from Freiburg at the end of the season, the end of an incredible tenure, Mark. And, you know, he's, as a person, been incredible for Freiburg, you know, kind of through thick and thin, taking them to, you know, through European football and you know, and beyond it, and beyond expectations as well for the side. So do you want to just kind of pick up on your thoughts on what Streich has achieved in his time at Freiburg, and how very sad we will be to see him. I think a few people have already mentioned Rune checking in as well. Thoughts on his decision to leave, and that's a good question for you, Mark. What impact is it going to have on this club as well?
Yeah, I mean, my initial thoughts are it's a very sad day for German football, a very sad day for the city of Freiburg and the club. He is a true club legend, a true Bundesliga legend, and we'll all miss him definitely because he is a great guy. You know, it's very a very sad season in some ways, despite all the great football we've seen. We've lost Steffen Baumgart at Köln. We've lost, obviously, Urs Fischer at Union Berlin. Spencer. And now we've lost the final member of the legendary trio. With obviously Christian Streich leaving Freiburg. Some would even say Bo Svensson leaving Mainz was a sad story as well. Yeah, there have been a lot of sad departures. Obviously, 14 years by the time he leaves will be his number. That's just his head coach. He's been involved in the coaching setup since 1995, starting with the U19s, then going to the U21s. So basically, he's a true one club man. You know, he's been there for, you know, over basically 30 years, really. Well, it'll be 29 years in the coaching by the time he leaves. Yeah, it's a sad day. And I'm pretty sure that the rest of the season now, really, for Freiburg is just going to be building up to that sad day in the middle of May, which will be his last game. Yeah, what impact will it have on the club? Well, it's going to be hard to find another manager. You know, it's not something that they've had to do in a long, long time. You know, 2011, he's been the head coach since. And, you know, one of the most successful periods, in, if not the most successful period in the history of SC Freiburg. He's taken them to the Pokal final for the first time ever, which they should have won, let's be honest. They lost in the semi-final. He's taken to the Europa League three times, including the last two seasons back-to-back. Yeah, they're going to miss him, really, because Freiburg is just a regional club. Really, they don't have a massive reach. They don't have massive resources. And it's going to be hard to replace him. Who they're going to get in, I think it's impossible to say at this stage. Whether they might go for another local guy to try and carry on the, you know, the Streich legacy. But, yeah, it's going to be a tough year or two, I think, for Freiburg. Because, you know, this is a team that have punched above the weight for years and years and years. And now all of a sudden they have to find a new manager. They're already in a period of transition in many ways with a lot of key players getting a little bit older and injury plagued. So, yeah, you know, I'm not going to say they're going to be in a relegation battle next season yet because there's a long way to go between now and then. But it's definitely a sad day for the town and the club.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Very sad indeed. He will be greatly missed. He's such a, yeah, charismatic character. I love seeing the interviews with him, you know, after games and things like that. So, yeah, what a legend, and he'll get some send off. So his last home game will be Saturday the 11th of May, so the penultimate weekend. They'll be hosting Heidenheim, so they'll have a great day for Streich on that match day. And yeah, hopefully they can go out on a high, and you know, they haven't got Europa League distractions anymore. So yeah, we'll see where things go for Freiburg, but. Yeah, they played a part of a great game as well on Sunday. And, you know, it was a close game. And that header maybe at the end as well, Mark, from the corner, they could have nicked a 3-3 draw. You know, maybe not deservedly, but, you know, they really hung on there. And you said they are really a really hard team to beat at home. They're always in the fight. And so, you know, that proved to be the case. And it was a really great game. Of footy to watch. So that's the end of our featured four. What I think we'll just quickly just hover over the other games. So the best of the rest of the Bundesliga, Mark, and we saw, well, goals are plenty everywhere, didn't we? So what else did we have? Obviously, Bayern's 5-2 win against Darmstadt. Harry happily adding more and more goals as Bayern got past the Darmstadt test. Still, well, I mean, like Bayern are scoring goals again. I think, you know, from an attacking perspective, they're finding their feet very comfortably. So still plenty to come from them. But I think credit to Darmstadt as well. They, you know, they played their part in that match and they had some good chances in that first half, particularly, I think it was. And, you know, it could have been, who knows, a huge shock. I think they just would have been loving being 1-0 up even for a brief moment against the current Bundesliga champions. We might not be saying that for too much longer. Otherwise, my boys, VfB, took care of business on Saturday evening. against Hoffenheim. Really professional, controlled win. Can't say more than that, really. Some great goals, great bits of play, aggressive in defence. That was one of the least worried matches I've watched for a while. I feel that was really well up there. And I just pray that the VfB lads who have been given the call up to the German national squad do not get injured. Yes, I would very much like Nagelsmann to give them 5 minutes here and there just to give them a little taste. No, I hope they obviously go well. And what else did we have then? I'm just trying to remind myself what actually happened this weekend. So much happened. Some big wins. Well, big win for Union as well, Mark. And a big win for Dortmund as well. We watched a great deal of the Dortmund match and still defensively a little bit sticky, aren't they, Dortmund? But they did, well, they got themselves through and Emre Can went from being sent off to getting a crucial third goal as well.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a perfect performance from the BVB, but it's another big win, similar to the win at Werder Bremen the week before. I mean, they play well for periods, but they're just not stringing together great performances this season. I would almost go as far as saying they're quite mechanical, really, Dortmund this season, which is absolutely not something you'd normally say for a BVB team, who are obviously famous for playing great flair football. But, yeah, I mean, that is kind of what you get with Terzic, isn't it? I mean, he isn't the most exciting manager, but he's solid and, yeah, he does get results at the end of the day. But the Champions League is the most interesting place where Dortmund's season lies for me at the minute. I mean, as we mentioned, I think we talked about it yesterday, didn't we, Rory, in person, that it's a very winnable tie against Atletico Madrid, who actually lost 3-0 at home against Barca yesterday. Mm-hmm. So this is a beatable side. And all of a sudden, if you get in the semis and then you've got PSG or Barca, and that's also not completely unwinnable for the BVB. So there's still a lot to play for them this season. They've got a wretched run in the Bundesliga coming up, though. They've got basically Bayern, Leipzig, Stuttgart and Leverkusen all in the next 5 games. So yeah, this is a massive part of the season. I would almost go as far to say as Dortmund's season starts now, basically, as crazy as it sounds, because yeah, if they can go on a good run now and make the, you know, even the semis of the Champions League and get top four, it's still been a good season for them. I mean, I think BVB fans disagreed with me that last week, saying that basically they believe that not anything short of a title challenge is a poor season for them. But I don't agree, because I didn't think they had a great transfer window. They lost the best player again this season for the third year in a row. And they didn't replace him this time. That was the problem. So basically, I think that semi-finals of Champions League and a top four would still be a decent season for the BVB.
Yep, absolutely. So, yeah, that will pretty much do us for the evening. So, yeah, really, really interesting show. Really enjoyed this tonight. Thank you so much to everyone that's got involved. There's been some great comments all the way through tonight. Really good questions. Apologies if we've missed any questions. But, you know, you've seen some new faces in here, which is awesome. So All Sports Fan Adam, Hjorvar as well. Hope you've been enjoying from Iceland. All our regulars as well who are watching. You know, it's been an awesome show. We've enjoyed getting through it. Obviously, you know, talking about the head coach. Well, movings that we've seen in the last 48 hours as well. So I'll gladly hand over to yourself, Mark, to close up tonight's show.
Yeah, absolutely. If you enjoyed what you saw on tonight's show, then check out our Twitter feed or our X feed at Over the Bar FB and at Over the Bar Extra. Don't forget that we're not only a YouTube channel, we're also a podcast as well, which will be signposted in the link. Then don't forget to like, comment and subscribe as well. So just a reminder, guys, obviously next weekend is rather unfortunately the international weekend, although Germany obviously have got a lot to look forward to and finally find some form ahead of the Euros. But yeah, there won't be a Thursday show and obviously a Monday show as well. So the next time we'll be back with a live show will be the following Thursday for the predictions ahead of week 27. So yeah, enjoy your international weekends, guys, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Cheers all.